So we know what the signal is. What do they say about delayed obedience? I don't know. We still have some things we need to work on, I guess. So anyway, I think we've pretty much done that. We're just saying it'd be nice, since we're not that many, we could kind of move closer to the front so Jit won't feel quite so alone. So if we can just leave the back section empty, that'd be great. And was there anything else I was supposed to say? No, that's it? Okay, it's yours.
So it's a huge, huge pleasure to come, and a massive privilege for us to be here and to see you guys. So as Don mentioned, in 2012, I was at a conference in the UK. It was the Leaders Conference. And I was facing some struggles during that conference. I was under some major attack. And for some reason, there was this American guy on the end of our row. We were all English for the first four rows, and we were all from the same church, and he was on the end of our row every single time. So on the last day, everybody left us, and there was just me and Don left on the row, so we went out to eat, and we got talking, and kind of here I am. As I've been hanging out with some of you guys, what was becoming, some of the conversations we had, we were just talking about the church and the size of it at the moment, and just in general conversation. And I was just thinking over some coffee like yesterday that Jesus did, I don't know how many healings, and I don't know how much he did with 12 disciples. And because there's more than 12 of us here today, I don't know how many thousand people we can try and heal this week. So we can just go for it, basically. That's what we're going to do. So because I've come from the UK, I figured there'd be some quite high expectations. So I spent ages writing this talk, and I just bought it as proof that it is here. I did write it. It did take me weeks. And I was going to talk on the Great Commission, and there was just lots of nice words in there, and it was just very, very delicately written. And then I came here, and then I met Horace, Amelia, and their family, and they ruined my talk, because I came here to teach what the Great Commission should look like, and they're already living it. So they kind of destroyed everything that I'd worked on. So it's kind of here and dead, and there's nothing I can really do with it now. No, I will read out what the Great Commission says, and you don't really need to turn to it, but basically, this is what it says. I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Go then and make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I've commanded you, and I'll be with you always to the end of the age. So that's pretty much all I can teach. I kind of got to these guys' house and was welcomed in, and I felt part of the family. And then I also see people, like yesterday, that they didn't know, also welcomed into their house, eating while they're sat outside with us. And I kind of figured, this is what Jesus did. This is what he commissioned us to do, to get the people. So I kind of broke it down in three stages of what I thought the Great Commission was. And I think, basically, it's to love people, witness to people, and disciple people. So they love them, they bring them into the home. The thing that people love about them is the fact that they have Jesus shining through them. So I'd just like to thank you for ruining my talk, and here I am. So I can't explain any more about the Great Commission than the way they live their lives. So all I'm going to do is I'm just going to tell you about my journey with God and what's happened in the last, say, year and a half. So I met Don, like I said, at the Leaders Conference, and that was in January. In March, with my friend Joe, we planned to go on vacation to Orlando. I had no idea why we picked Orlando at the time, but we just decided that's where we were going to go. So in March, we flew out, and it was on the first day of the vacation, the second night, first day. And basically, we were just sat by the pool in our motel. Now, I assumed we're in America, so the water is always warm because the sun's always out. And we get in, and it's freezing cold. It's like being back in England again. And so there's two pools. There's kind of a huge one in the middle and a smaller one to the side. So we thought, let's see if that's any warmer. Maybe that's a heated pool and we can maybe survive, because we're there, two English people, freezing cold in these trunks, and people are just looking at us. So we go over, And we basically get into this pool, which is no warmer. It is still freezing cold. I think I'm going to get pneumonia. And I see this guy, and he's just laughing at us. He's just kind of looking and smiling because he knew the water was cold and chose not to tell us. So I invited him over to come and sit with us. And it turns out that this guy is actually from 150 miles south of where I live, but we're in Orlando together. So we get talking, and he decides to start talking about the stars. I don't know, some sort of... He was just explaining stars to me, and I don't really understand that stuff. So I said, do you have a faith? And he said, no, and he explained all the reasons that he didn't have any faith. I think there'd been lots of struggles in life, there'd been some depression, and just lots of stuff. So I said, look, I'm just going to ask you for two things. One is, can we pray for you now? And the second one was, will you visit a church when you go back home? To which he said yes to both. So there we are, just to set the scene. He's on a deck chair, and we're in this little pool with our swimming trunks on, and we kind of lay hands on this guy, and there's a bar area where people are just looking at us. And we start speaking, I start speaking in tongues, and we start praying over this guy. And then I get a sense that there's a lot of anxiety in his heart, so we command it to go, and it breaks away. And he tells me that he can feel this weight, this spirit over his, just on top of him. And I was just explaining, it's the Spirit of God. And, you know, I thought he would have felt awkward. But for about 15 minutes, he was just sat there receiving from Jesus. And, oh, I was just blown away. This is the first time that I had got to pray for somebody in this kind of environment. Well, especially in a swimming pool. But it was kind of like, it was very new to me. That's all I can kind of say. So. So on Sunday, we decided that we would go to church. I always want to get my worship time in. So important. So Sunday, I said to Joe, let's go and find a church. Don already knows my timekeeping is very late, so I woke up late, as I always would, and Joe ran downstairs to the computer to find see where the nearest church was. And he came back and said, the nearest church is miles away, and there's an evening service at a church called the Church of Life, just a few miles away. No, sorry, a few minutes away. He was just around the corner, about a mile, maybe less than that. But that's in the evening. So I said, what should we do instead? And SeaWorld was the next answer. So we decided to go to SeaWorld. Now, I said to Joe, look, you don't make many decisions, and I have to make every decision. So where should we go and eat? And he said, Subway. And I was like, if I walk out my house and walk down the street, there's a Subway, but we've just flown 4,000 miles and you want to go to Subway. But because you made the decision, we will go. I was like, we're going. I don't even want to change your mind, we're going. So we go to the Subway, and there's like a ticket booth where they sell like attraction tickets, and we were just looking at theme parks, where else to go. So I go in and I speak to the guy briefly, and he's a great guy. We just go and eat, we walk back out, we walk past the ticket office and walk towards SeaWorld, and I kind of almost stop. And I'm like, I have to go and pray for the guy in the ticket office. I have no idea why. He kind of looks at me like I've gone crazy, and then we carry on walking. And I was like, no, really, I have to go back. I said, look, just grab my drink. I'll be back in 30 seconds when he says no to me, but I have to go. This is not optional. So I run back there. And this guy was huge, and it was like, I said, I know this is going to sound really weird, but I just felt... I said, I know this is going to sound really weird, but I'm a Christian. And he said, oh, so am I. I said, well, I just felt God telling me that I needed to come and bless you in some way. I don't know what. And he says, well, it's really funny you should say that. But he ended up telling me about his life, all of his struggles, how he lived in Orlando, had become a Christian in prison, but had not managed to find a church that he got settled in since. So I started, we talked and talked, and then we prayed. And he said, you know, just this morning, I asked God to do something with today. You know, do what you will, and you turned up. And we did church in the car lot. The thing is, about 30 minutes later or so, it struck me that he was waiting in 40-degree heat, and it was so hot that day, so I was like, look, I really have to go, and I'm sorry, but here's my email address, and I ran back. And again, completely blown away. This is just God ministering to people. You know, one guy, the first guy was there, and he lives right near me in England. And this guy is from Orlando, and God uses us to minister to him. So I was thinking, this trip can't get any more crazy. This is just unbelievable. And then we're at a bar one evening, and we went to see one of our friends that we'd made. And he wasn't there. And the drinks were seriously overpriced. But we decided to stay anyway. I have no idea. And I just went into the restroom. And as I was coming back out, there's a guy, and he has all this cologne and stuff. And he collects tips and sprays you with disgusting cologne. And basically, he said to me, he was asking me all these questions. I think he was just treating me as I was a normal customer, asking me about women, this, that, and the other. And I was like, look, just look at me for a second. Do I look like the type of guy that's interested in some of the things that you're talking about? And he went, no, there's a different spirit about you. And I was like, explain. And it turns out this guy had become a Christian. But he had this war in his family. They were pulling him back every time he tried to move forward. There was drugs involved, alcohol involved, everything. So we talked. But then what happened was, this restroom was like the busiest thing you could imagine. I don't know what they put in their drinks, but every time one guy went out, three more walked in. So I waited for a second and it was empty. And I was like, right, let's pray. We just need to pray and break this thing. I know what's going on in your life. God knows more. Let's just pray. And I started praying for him, and not a single person came in. All business stopped. Everything stopped while I prayed for this guy. And it was just unbelievable. I went back to see him after this, and I'll explain that to you. So meanwhile, Joe comes in, and he was like, look, I either thought you'd been kidnapped or you were praying for someone. I just needed to check that you hadn't been kidnapped. We are, you know, in a different country. So I was like, no, I'll be out in 10. Don't worry, I've got this. And he went. And so I was kind of really blown away again. This is my first trip. It wasn't a ministry trip. It's turning into a ministry trip. And I was like, okay, we need to leave this bar now. It's seriously overpriced, like it was when we came in. And so we leave, and I cross the road, and Joe's kind of politely walking with me, and he says, so what are you doing? And I was like, I'm trying to get a bus or a taxi. I was trying to get a taxi. He says, okay, it's just that you're on the wrong side of the road. They all go that way. I was like, yeah, I knew that. Just come on, let's go. So I just felt really embarrassed, and I was like, yeah. So we got to this guy who was just sat on a bench at a bus stop, and I said, look, do you know where we can get a bus from or a taxi from? And he said, the taxi's over there, but I'm waiting for a bus here. And he said, okay. I said, bus stop was just a few yards up. And I said, look, let's just sit with you. And I sat with this guy, and his name was Joe, and I just felt like God was saying, pray for this guy. Just lay hands on him and pray for him. So I said to God, look, I'm at a bus stop. The bus is due any minute. If I start praying for him, it's all going to be ruined. I'm going to look foolish. He's going to feel foolish, and we're all just going, this is not going to work. So I prayed for him. And basically, I kind of said to him, are you a Christian? And he said, no, I gamble occasionally, so I can't be a Christian. And I truthfully said to him, look, I've probably done 100 things wrong today, and I'm still a Christian. There is nothing to worry about. So look, can I just pray for you? And I just laid hands on him, and I started praying for him. And I started telling him how much God wanted to be his best friend. How he was looking for pure intimacy with this guy. And he started saying, Jesus loves me. God loves me. He wants me to be his best friend. I was like, yeah, that's exactly what he was after. And, you know, we were praying for about 25 to 30 minutes, and that bus never came. He says, I'm waiting for this bus every night because I work at that restaurant, and I catch this bus every day. And this is the first time. And his words were, bus didn't come because God sent you. And that's why it didn't come. So finally I was like, what do we do now? So we got a taxi. Because the bus wasn't coming. It already missed the route. So so then we flew home. And I was blown away. I was like, so we can actively pray for people, build this. We can be the church, the people, outside of the building. Like, I knew this, but how do you do it? And I came back. I was just trying to be manly, and occasionally burst into tears, and I'd quickly, I've got something in my eye on the bus, because I was thinking about what God had just done and how he just used us to bless his people. And I said to Joe after the first day, I said, you know, the holidays, the vacation is done. The fact that we came here, we prayed for this guy, he felt the Holy Spirit for the first time in his life, it is done. Anything else that we get now is a bonus. This was it. For me, we'd served the entire purpose of the trip. It was just done with. And anything else was just extra. But that was worth it just for him. So I came back to the UK and I was just kind of getting over my trip. And week after week, just getting to minister to people. I find myself after the gym one day praying for a Muslim guy in my car. Just praying for him. And it was just amazing. And then one day I walked in and there's a guy and I can just see loneliness in this guy's life. He needs a friend. He needs somebody to hang out with. So I start talking to him. Now, usually kind of introductions are, hey, would you like to go for a drink sometime? Or, you know, you talk about life. I kind of said, look, you know, if you come to my church, it will change your life forever for the better and you'll never be the same again. That was my introduction. That's how kind of I said hello to him. He's like, okay, I'll come. And he didn't come. So I saw him there a week after. And I invited him. And he came, he stood at service, and he said, Jesus went through my body as we prayed. He was thanking me, and I hadn't even prayed for him. I didn't even do anything. I was just stood next to him. And something started to happen in this guy's journey. So he's probably been rejected in life many times, all sorts of things, and didn't have the friendship or the support that he needed. So God sent us in. And he came to the gym one day, and he was limping. And this guy, I'm sure he will mind me saying, he's prone to injury. He always does stuff like this, when he's training especially. And he came in, and he was limping as he walked in. And I thought, what's going on now? This has got to be something else. And he said, look, I fell over on my leg again, and basically I've injured this knee. So I said, okay, we'll avoid doing any exercises with the knee. And we went to do one, and somehow he managed to use the knee, even though it wasn't an exercise to do with his knee. And it came out full, swollen, red. And this guy was in agony. His pain was red. And the words nearly came out of my mouth. So when we get to church on Sunday, I'll pray for you. And I was like, I can't do that. I have to pray for him now. Albeit that we're in the gym and we're going to look foolish, whatever, I'm going to have to just pray for him now anyway and just whatever. So I said, look, we could just pray for you. So he holds his hands out and starts praying for himself. So I was like, well, hey, you know, if Jesus heals him now, I may not have to do anything. But Jesus didn't heal him at that point. But I thought, if he's got the courage to do that, then I should really have the courage to kind of go, let's pray. So I said, look, I'll pray for your knee, and you can tell me what happens. So we start praying, and the pain starts to reduce. So we pray again, it reduces. Pray again, and it reduces. Then the third time, I said, I'm done playing with this illness. The next time I pray for you, this is going to be healed, and it's going to be completely healed and no pain. So that's exactly what I did. I prayed and I commanded that this pain completely left this guy's knee and all the swelling went. And it was completely healed. So he goes onto the treadmill and puts on the highest setting possible. And the guy's running. Late part of last year, we baptized him. I baptized him in the church. And he's part of he does a little bit with the soccer team now, and he's kind of helping out with some of the outreach ministries, and it's just transformed his life. But it was such a simple thing. It was just being available to say, we're here for you. Being kind of mission, you know, being having our purpose mission focused. And you know, some of us may not be able to open up our homes to people. So what can we do while we are away on business, or we are, you know, how do we do? I'm going to cover some of these things. I don't really know what I'm doing right now. I'm just seeing what God does or what brings to my attention. So I really kept in touch with this church. It's called the Church of Life. And basically, we just, like, me and Don, we just kept talking. And he rang me up in, like, February, and he said, so can we fly you over and you can do some street evangelism and preach in the church? I was like, yeah, let's do it. 100%. Let's go for this. So in June, I flew out and I got there. I kind of didn't know what I was doing. So my first words were, what am I doing here? When he picked me up. And he said, you know what you're doing here. We're just going to go out and we're going to pray for people. So my over this time, I'm becoming more and more kind of mission focused. And I fly out. So on Sunday, I preach in his church, and we have an amazing ministry time. The Spirit of God just comes and just blows them all away. And then we head out on the streets. Now, I didn't know what this was going to look like. I just turned up and hoped for the best. I didn't know what this is. I didn't know anything about what God was going to do. And we started going out, and a guy came to us in crisis. The thing that Jesus specializes most in, people in crisis. So we're just out there, and we've prayed for a couple of people, and we have these huge Church of Life cards, and we're just handing them out and inviting people and saying, do you want prayer for anything? And this guy comes past us and grabs the card. And he was like, what are you, a church? And he was like, yeah. And I think he was a Colombian guy, and he said, look, I've just been robbed. People have come into my room, and they've taken my stuff and everything. I've got nothing now. So I was like, look, we'd just love to pray for a solution into this. And he was like, yeah, that'd be great. So I just went to get him a drink. And this, we can touch on a bit of spiritual warfare here. I just wanted to get him a drink. And as they started to talk, so the pastor of the church was with me and this guy. As they started to talk, this guy started to try to blank out the Jesus conversation. He starts putting the radio on. And I didn't even know. I was oblivious to all this. I didn't even understand he had the radio on. I was just told about this afterwards. He starts putting the radio on and really loud. And he starts kind of saying, go away. Go away. Like, you know, he doesn't want this. This is a bad thing. Again, I didn't even know any of this. So I just kind of sat down and started praying for the guy. And it just further confirmed the importance of being the church on the streets. This guy really was in a crisis. Now, we didn't have the money to give him, but we had prayer, we had time, and we sat with him, and we got to speak with him. Then we tried to find some arrangement, tried to make some arrangements for him with somewhere to stay. But that confirmed the purpose of the trip. We were just there on mission, just bringing people to know that Jesus adores them. So I didn't know what was going to happen. So we would meet outside of Walgreens at about 6 p.m. We'd try and just pray for people wherever we could. At 6 p.m. we'd meet outside Walgreens, and then basically we would just pray and go out and kind of treasure hunt. And one day there was just three of us, and we were trying to build some release leaders into this ministry. So there we are with this girl. And she's quite nervous about this thing. She's kind of like, you know, I'm not going to pray for people, but I'll pray with you, but I'm not going on my own. I'm not going up to people. And I was like, cool, let's just go. And I said, so who should we pray for? And she said, security guard over there, but I'm not going. I was like, okay, cool, let's go. So we get there, and I said, look, I just need you to know something, that this girl over here said that we should come and pray for you. She didn't say left, right, anything. She said, you. So we've come to pray for you. And he further asked, you know, what was it like? How did you find out you should pray for me? And asked us questions, quizzed us like we were crazy. And I just said, look, she said you, so we've come. That's it. There is nothing else to it. You know, she felt God saying you. He says, well, that's just crazy. He said, just bear with me while I get some tissues, because I think I'm going to cry. And this is true. He got his tissues, and he said, I am having problems at my work at the moment, and my manager is really putting pressure on me, and this is really hard, and I just don't know what to do. And he says, the fact that you've come, you know, God has sent you here, he's just blown away. So we just prayed for him, and it was just amazing. And I turned around, and there was this really big, very strict, further security guard coming. And my foot's in the door of the security guard. We've got our hands in there. And he's kind of looking at what's going on. Though I thought we were probably going to get arrested. But anyway, he comes along, and he says, yeah, these guys are just praying for me. So I said, can I pray for you as well? And he said, yeah. So we laid hands on him and prayed for him as well. We got two done at the same time. But you see, that kind of just showed me how much, you know, I went out with this dream of we're going to meet lots of non-Christian people. And we're going to get to pray with them. They're going to get to know Jesus. But what I didn't think about is all of the people that already know him, but are still just in need of some witnesses to stop by and just bless them. The non-Christian, the Christian, doesn't mean anything. Just the fact that Jesus wanted to bless that guy. It was a lesson learned for me. So we prayed for him, and we left, and we were all just silent, like, oh my God, what is next? And so we turned around the corner, and we kind of prayed for somebody else. And as we were walking away, I thought God do that thing where he goes, that guy. So I didn't even say anything to them. They carried on walking. I turned around and said, excuse me, we're from a local church, and I really felt God telling me to pray for you. And he moved his arms out, and he had Proverbs written on his arms, just tattooed in. I was like, so you're a Christian, and we just got talking, and I said to him, I think God is saying that you're called to do a ministry, but you're just not doing it at the moment. You're called to do a ministry. And I said, I don't really get much more than that, but could we pray? And I prayed for him, and then the other two realized that I was missing and came back to try and find me, and I said, they're going to prophesy over you now. And they kind of looked at me like, put us on the spot then. And they come and sit down, and they start prophesying into his life. They start saying, kind of, you know, just explaining that it's his characteristics and his just qualities and stuff that are going to just make his ministry that God is calling him to do. He's specifically been given these gifts. So he kind of says, here, have some money. And I was like, I don't do this to get paid. I'm just here to pray for you. He says, hey, you'll need some walk-around money. Here, have some six. I really appreciate what you're doing. I said, look, I really don't want anything. We just want to pray. God is calling you to do ministry. So he makes the pastor take the $100 and says, you better go out and dinner with us. We used that money to buy coffee for people that were walking along the International Drive. So God kind of provided for us in that way. But it kind of got me thinking again, this was another Christian. We just prayed for one Christian, then another Christian, and then another Christian. And it was like mission focused. But these guys are Christians. And it was just showing me God's trying to build this huge army of people to witness in this area. He's building his army up. It wasn't like there was a few individuals walking around praying for all these people that don't know the Lord. But an entire army that he's trying to create on the International Drive to go and minister to these people. So, you know, I came back from Orlando and I was just blown away. We prayed for, I think, 70 people in the 4 or 5 days we were out. We told about 200 people about the church. We had one girl there called Tanisha, and basically she didn't realize what this whole ministry thing could look like. So evangelism, she would not say she's an evangelist. When I did my ministry time there, she came up to receive this gift of evangelism. Tanisha's job is to go to Disney and greet people, especially the kids, jump out on the kids and do that sort of thing. So I said, basically, what you're going to be is you supernaturally. So now we're going to go out on the streets. You're going to do everything that you do in Disney, which is greet people because you're great at it. But now we're going to go one step further and maybe cast out a demon or heal them. That's exactly what it is. It's just supernaturally you. It's just nothing different. I could not keep up with her when I took her on the streets. I was exhausted. She showed me what evangelism can look like. So it was, the gifting was already there. She was just, it just had to be released out of her. She just needed to know how she can use it. So there were lots of people like that in Orlando that just got to know this gift by just praying for people on the streets and doing church. So I came back from Orlando completely blown away, even more, and with a bigger vision. And I thought I would have some kind of quiet downtime, and I was sent away on business for 2 weeks. So there I am, now in a hotel again, away from home for another 2 weeks. I've just been away for 2 weeks, and I make friends with the, I don't know if you Americans say porter, like the guy that does the bags and stuff at the hotel. Yeah. So I made friends with him because I would get in at ridiculous times of the morning from my work because I was working through the night. So I was there. And I noticed one night that I noticed it more one night that he was limping quite a lot, and it looked like he was in severe pain. So I kind of said to him, look, I was like, Lord, it's 6 o'clock in the morning, and I don't really know what to do, but the manager's there. I'm friends with the manager as well, but I don't really want to pray in the reception area because it'd be uncomfortable for everyone. I don't know what it would look like for him. So I prayed that there'd be a way. So I asked for some ice, and he had to go all the way to the other side to get some ice. So I followed him. And I said, look, I noticed you got a limp. What is it? What's wrong? And he said, well, I've got arthritis in my leg, and it kind of comes on really badly. So I was like, well, okay, well, can I just pray for you then? And he was like, okay. So there it was, me and him in this closed restaurant, and I just start praying for him, and nothing really happens. So I just pray for him, and I thank him and go to bed. Then I checked out of that hotel, and I came back in the next week. And he comes up to me, he says, look at my leg. And I said, what's up? He says, well, I'm not limping as much anymore. He says, that thing you did in there, the pain's going. I said, so how much has it gone down? He says, well, it takes me 30 minutes to get around this hotel. But I can now do it in 18 minutes. So it's significantly gone down and the pain's going. I was like, look, Jesus loves you, and that's all I can say. And, you know, if you want to go to a church, I know a great church called The Vineyard, and they will look after you. There's not much more I can do there. He's hundreds of miles away from me, but that was it. And whether he goes or not is nothing to do with me, but God did something to that guy's leg in a closed restaurant at 6 o'clock in the morning while I was eating my dinner. So we came back, and as I was coming back from Orlando, I met with my senior pastor. He said, well, we should do something in Leicester, where I live. We should do something like this and invite people for prayer. What would you like to do? So the very simple thing we did was on August, was it the 14th, something like that, middle of August, we basically got 4 chairs, a healing stand, a microphone speaker, and we put it up in the middle of the city centre. And the weather was forecasted to rain. Everyone that showed interest in this thing was away. So we didn't know quite what was going to happen as we stepped out to do this. Well, then 15 people show up. They were from our church. And people start to come in. And they sit down on our chairs. And this one guy comes. And he says, I've got back pain, back and shoulder pain. So I said, right, let's pray. Let's pray for you. The back and the shoulders get healed. Then I have a word for him about a relationship. It touches him there, very relevant to his life. He gets up, another person comes, and this guy has anxiety problems, so not a physical illness, but we've put healing there, so I'm assuming he's seen the sign, he's come over. He says, he had this anxiety issue where he could not do anything without feeling really, really scared, anxious, everything. It was destroying his life. So I said, look, I'm just going to pray for you. And we got a few of our guys together, and we just laid our hands on him. We started praying for him, and it goes. All anxiety is broken off him. And we tell him about Jesus. He had, I think, a slight mental disability, but he invited Jesus into his life that day for him to start working. And this anxiety is gone, and he's really surprised. And it's amazing. And it's one of the stories from that day, I think, will stay with me for the rest of my life. How am I doing for time? Because I'm not reading this anymore, so I'm always late. Am I okay? Yeah, cool. So this guy comes and he sits down on the seat, and he's in tears. He's completely in tears. And basically what's happened is he's been mugged and beaten up, and everything's been taken from him. So he goes home from the hospital and he collapses, and he kind of injures his arm and his head, and he's back in hospital again. So my friend finds him. And when I get there, Joe and a couple of my friends are praying for him. And he has his arm in a sling. I have some pictures for this, if anyone does want to see it. He comes in this sling, and he's come straight out of hospital. And so we say, well, these guys are praying for us. Has anyone prayed for the arm? And then this thought came into my head, well, it's quite a big problem, so maybe we should leave that to a church, because it's going to take quite a while to get rid of that. I thought, no. That's ridiculous. I said, look, let's pray for the arm. Come on. And I get like, and we take it in turns. So for about 15 minutes, I just rotate people around and say, come on, let's pray for this guy's arm. You know, 15 minutes later, the guy takes the sling off and he waves it around as there is no more pain. When he first came, he could barely move that arm. Jesus heals the arm. We prophesy into his life. And I don't know what's going to happen, but that's quite a lot to take in one day. And I that just broke me even more for this. So we did it again, and we see more healings. And to summarize what I'm saying is, I look at this whole making disciples as my whole purpose in life. Anything else that I do will have no real eternal kind of significance as leading people to Jesus and being a disciple myself. So the reason we've come here is just to minister to people and build another army around the peninsula that will want to minister to God's children. So that's really the reason we're here. It's just been made clear to me, I think I have maybe 50 years left to live. I kind of thought 60, but I'm thinking maybe 50 now. And I have maybe 50 years left to live. So in that time, my sole goal is to get as many people to know Jesus as possible by being used through him. I know I can't do anything myself, but that is just kind of my sole goal. I don't, my colleagues know this, everybody knows this because, especially at my work, because this is just it for me. I've got it. This is my vision. I can't see much else. A story that just came to mind, because this is where Jesus takes, you know, technology to another level and teaches us, is when I was in Orlando, I had a very good friend from my first trip, but the second time we met up with her. She's part of the Church of Life. It became clear that we were teaching her some sort of evangelism that she didn't previously know. And I kind of didn't realize that we were teaching her anything, really. But we were just praying for people on the streets. And then it turns out she wanted to now do full-time evangelism because she was called to start ministering for full-time. She was a nurse who God had a calling on to just go out and minister to people every day. So we went over there, and she's just all the time on the streets. But when we did healing on the streets the first time in the UK, I get a message from her to say, I am so ill that I cannot even get out of bed. I feel dizzy. I feel drained. I cannot do any ministry whatsoever. She said, when you came here, you preached about how you prayed for two people over the phone and they got healed. So can we do Skype? That's an interesting question. So I said to my friend Joe, right, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to put the computer on, and you're going to experience something like I've prayed for people over the phone. What you're going to do is pray for somebody over Skype. So I said to her, put the PC on, put your webcam on so we can see you. She even refused to do that initially because she says, I feel so ill, I look so ill, I don't want to do this. I said, just put it on. Put it on, it's not a problem. And then Joe lays hands on the screen. You know, she starts to get better. Then she gets worse. I said, Joe, what have you done? And I was like, what are you doing to her? She's my friend. No. And she says to me, I think God wants me to be ill right now, and he's trying to show me something. And I said, that's not true. All that's happening is we're experiencing spiritual warfare. You're an evangelist. It's happening. You're going to get this. I said, Joe, do not move from that PC until she is healed. And she got completely healed over Skype. Completely healed. No issues whatsoever. She then led 11 people out on the streets to go and pray for people the other day. The ministry that I went out to start in Orlando, she's now leading it. And she's just found this new way. So PC evangelism, for anyone that wants to know, this is how we do it. And I think I'm about done. I'm here for like till Sunday. So we're going to have lots to talk about. We can meet up. We can hang out. But I think we will just pray now, and we're going to do some ministry. So would you all stand? Joe, come pray.
Okay, so Lord, I just invite your presence now, Jesus, today. I just ask your presence to fill this room with your spirit, Lord. pray your spirit will rest on each and every person in this room, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit, fill your people up. So I ask that you would empower us to go out into the streets, in our workplace, with families, with friends, in our homes, and just really to minister to them, just tell them about Jesus, about all the things that you've done in our life. Yes, Lord, just increase the presence now, Jesus, in this room. Empower us now to step out in faith, and to take risks in everyday life, whatever situation we're in, whatever the circumstance, that we'll be bold and courageous, and just to step out and do your will. Yes, Lord, just fill everyone up now, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. More, Lord. More, Jesus. So what I'd like to do is invite you forward. If you feel God stirring your hearts to do this evangelism, to share your faith with others, just invite you now to just come forward to the front, and would love to pray for you now.
Yes. Also, just if the Spirit of God is just resting on you, step forward, and we would just love to pray over you, whatever that may be. But particularly if some of the stuff that we've talked about today is just stirring in your heart, if you would just come to the front, to this kind of side, we would just love to pray for you. We'd just love to pray for you. And for anything else, just please step up as well. I just pray, Lord, that you release anointing, that you'd release visions, that you would bring compassion for people, and that you would just break their hearts, Lord, for your kingdom.
Yes, Lord, come, Holy Spirit. Bless them, Jesus. More, Lord, more of your presence, Jesus. Fill us up, Lord. More, Lord. Ask for more of your presence, Jesus. Let's pray now. You just empower us, Lord, to step out in faith and to live out the Great Commission and to really just share everything you've done and just to speak to people about you, Lord, about our faith in you and all the good things you've done in our lives and how you've changed us and transformed our lives, Jesus. Bless everyone here. More, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Bless everyone here, Jesus. Yes, I just pray now for more courage to step out in faith, Jesus. With boldness, Lord. So wherever we find ourselves, just to step out and just tell others about you, Jesus. More, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your presence today, Lord. Yes, send the wave of your presence now, Jesus, over everyone here. Everyone, just feel your spirit, Lord. Fill us up, Lord, more, Jesus. Pray you just give us faith, Jesus, Lord, just to stand firm in you, and to trust you, and to step out in faith, Lord. That this will be fun, it will be just a great, exciting time, really, just to minister to people, Lord, just people who don't yet know you, people that need encouragement, and to just bless people in our communities, in our schools, in our workplace, wherever we find ourselves, Lord. More, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Pray, Lord, if we feel tired or weary, that you'll just fill us up now, Jesus. Send your strength, Lord, and just to empower us to step out, Jesus. Oh, Lord. To bless everyone here today, Jesus. If the Lord's not doing anything with you at the moment, would you please just come forward and just pray for someone if you'd like to do that? That'd be great. Yes, Lord, come, Holy Spirit. Send your power, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Yes, more, Lord Jesus. Empower us to step out in your name. To give us courage, Jesus, to do your will. Just ask your love to overflow in our lives and just spread that into other people's lives. And to pass on all the things you've done. Just like to invite you forward if you need healing in any way, whatever it is. I'd love to pray for you for that as well. Just come, Holy Spirit. Bless everyone here.
Lord, I would ask for the end of isolation. I would ask that we, as we are linking arms up here, I ask for the end of isolation, that the enemy would isolate us to say that we're not connected, that we do not qualify, that we are not able to be used. And Lord, I would ask that you would rebuke the enemy in that, and that truth would come and vision would come. Thank you, Lord. We are your hands and feet, and we are your mouthpiece. Thank you, Jesus. We just ask for the end of isolation and that you would begin to connect hearts more and more and more. Thank you, Lord, for giving courage, your type of courage. Thank you for giving eyes, your kind of eyes. Thank you for giving us your heart, your heart.
Lord, I just pray where we feel discouraged in this, where we've had bad experiences of showing our faith, Lord, I just pray now you just renew our strength, renew our spirit, Lord, just to keep doing this, to keep spreading your words, to keep speaking to people about you, Lord, and just not to be discouraged, but just to empower us to do this, Lord. Renew our spirit, Jesus. More, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Okay, so that's the end. Now, if you would like prayer for anything, please come forward and we'd love to pray for you, wherever it is. And, yeah, we'll just come and find us. And just to say, we've got some gospels near the reception. If you'd like to take one of those, just you can give it to a friend or someone who doesn't yet know Jesus. And just, yeah, love to offer that to you as well. Okay.
I don't really know how we end the service. So, cool, there you go then. That's it, done. Thank you, everybody.